Throughout this season of Lent, our theme has been full to the brim, and we've been reflecting on the ways that God's love and grace overflow, leaving us full to the brim. Today, we are looking at a story which contains a brazen act of beauty. On this fifth Sunday of Lent, our reading is from John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and the cross. He makes a stop in Bethany, where he visits old friends, Lazarus, and his sisters, Mary and Martha. While there, Jesus shares a meal with them. Keep in mind that at this point, Jesus is a wanted man. The chief priests and the Pharisees are looking for him, planning to arrest and kill him. So this is the poignant story of Mary anointing Jesus. Listen for God's word to you in this reading from John's Gospel. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard and anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the word of the Lord. So friends, every day do something that won't compute. That's advice from poet and farmer Wendell Berry. He goes on to list some of the things that won't compute, but the first two are love the Lord and love the world. Every day, do something that won't compute. Love the Lord and love the world. Mary's brazen act of beauty does not compute. It is wildly impractical, pouring a pound of pure nard, a perfumed oil worth more than a year's wages, onto Jesus' feet. Can you imagine that? She filled the house with the scent of that perfume, and then even more outrageously, she wiped the oil off his feet with her hair. Her hair. 2,000 years later, it's still such an intimate, shocking, scandalous, and maybe even shameful scene. But what if Mary was following Wendell Berry's advice? Every day, do something that won't compute. Our reading today is from John 12, but this story really begins earlier in John chapter 11, when Jesus' friend Lazarus died. Do you know that story? When Lazarus fell ill, his sisters, Mary and Martha, sent for Jesus because they knew that he could help their brother. But Jesus arrived too late. Lazarus was dead and buried, leaving his sisters grieving and angry at Jesus' delay. A weeping Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He called his friend out of the tomb where he was buried, and Lazarus emerged, raised to new life. So perhaps Mary's deep love for Jesus makes better sense knowing this. Maybe her scandalous behavior reflects her gratitude for the man who restored her brother's life. And maybe, just maybe, she is aware of the cost of Jesus' actions. Because Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead was very costly indeed. It raised the hackles of the chief priests and the Pharisees. This act was powerful, it was threatening, and it was politically dangerous. Jesus preaching, teaching, and healing were bad enough, but this time he went too far. Raising Lazarus from the dead threatened to destroy the careful balance of power in this tiny colony. If he drew the attention of the Romans with his power over life and death, the priests were afraid that the Romans would respond with absolute brutality, destroying Israel. And so the religious establishment decided to arrest and kill Jesus immediately, ending his life and ministry for the good of the country. Surely Mary was aware of all of this. And maybe in her love and grief, she anointed Jesus for the next part of his journey to Jerusalem, his journey to his death. Her crazy act of brazen beauty begins to make more sense even as it inspires criticism. Ironically, Judas was the critic. The text is swift to let us know who he was, the one who would betray Jesus, the one who stole from the common purse. John writes that Judas wondered, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? Coming from anyone else, it might be a valid criticism. Coming from Judas, though, it reeked of hypocrisy and self-interest. His own weakness blinded him to the beauty of Mary's loving gesture. Every day, do something that won't compute. To many, Dick Hoyt's relationship with his disabled son, Rick, did not compute, and it inspired plenty of criticism. Rick is a quadriplegic with cerebral palsy. When he was born in 1962, doctors told his parents to institutionalize him. When his parents sought help from the engineering department at Tufts University so that they could better communicate with their son, the university said, "No way, there's nothing happening in Rick's brain." His dad insisted that they tell him a joke and watch his response. So someone told a joke and Rick laughed, and then he got a computer that he could control by moving his head. When a high school classmate of Rick's was paralyzed in an accident, the school organized a 5-mile fundraising run for him. Rick told his dad that he wanted to run too. Really, he wanted his dad to run, pushing him in a wheelchair. So Dick Hoyt painfully ran 5 miles, pushing his son in his wheelchair. Afterward, Rick told his dad, "When we were running, it felt like I wasn't disabled anymore." What would you do after hearing that? Dick Hoyt started running, entering every race he could, pushing his son in a new, lighter, and more comfortable racing wheelchair. Lots of people in the disabled community criticized him. They thought he made a spectacle of his son, using him to gain media attention. But for Rick, it was an adventure. It was a rare glimpse of what it felt like to move freely. So Dick and Rick ran the Boston Marathon together 32 times. They did the Ironman triathlon in Hawaii 4 times. They went mountain climbing and cross-country skiing, and they biked across the entire United States. When Dick Hoyt couldn't physically do it anymore, he found someone else to run with his son. He died last year at age 80, and his son said, "No question about it, my dad is father of the century." Every day, do something that won't compute. Love the Lord, love the world. Mary loved Jesus. She and her sister and brother joyfully welcomed him into their home, knowing the risk, knowing that he was a wanted man, knowing he was soon to die. Mary's anointing of Jesus' feet was a brazen act of beauty. It was an act of resistance and love. It was also a public act of worship. Her faith was not hidden. It was not frugal. It was embodied, broken open, and poured out. It was abundant and extravagant. It did not compute. We are called to worship in that way. We are called to love in that way. But what does that look like on Presbyterian Christians who are called the frozen chosen for a reason? What does it mean to love and to worship so extravagantly, so excessively, so beautifully? Maybe it looks differently on each one of us. Maybe we express our love, our worship, our gratitude in our own ways using the gifts that God has given to us. Dick Hoyt ran, pushing his son Rick in a wheelchair. Some of us show up for town hall meetings to work for justice. Others sing and play instruments. Some garden, sharing their produce and their flowers with friends and family. Others share their maintenance skills in caring for the church building. And some visit the sick and dying. Some teach children at Sunday school. And others attend meetings, lots and lots of meetings. We can perform brazen acts of beauty in a million different ways. The Reverend Larissa Kwong Abazia, who wrote a commentary on this passage, said this: "As people of faith, we are called to crack ourselves open, pouring out the richness of what is within to more fully worship God. We are called to crack ourselves open, pouring out the richness of what is within to more fully worship God." Who knew that pouring expensive perfume on Jesus' feet would be considered an act of faith, an act of beauty that would resonate with people of faith for 2,000 years? Who knew that running and pushing your son in a wheelchair would inspire many, many others to do the same? In the words of Wendell Berry, "So friends, every day do something that won't compute. Love the Lord, love the world. Do it as a brazen act of beauty and a brazen act of worship. Amen."